Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Hurts in the gun with Barkley to his right. On second down, Hurts drops, steps up. He's looking, he's rolling, he's back, still looking, and he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open, touchdown, and it goes to Johan Dotson.
Mayo Reese on Eagles Radio. Jahan Dotson off the milk carton and making an impact for the Eagles. They win 22-10. This game was still in the balance, though, deep into the second half, but the Packers pull off just, I'm not trying to make an excuse for them. They did not play well. The first half might have been one of the worst halves of football I've ever seen them play. They just kept losing guys left and right on the offensive line, on the receiving core. And it's funny, I was texting a little bit with our old boss, Mike Eskin, who does afternoons in Philadelphia, and he's like, the Eagles are losing this game. I'm like, how? The Packers are down to one healthy receiver. You know, lucky for him and for all you Eagle fans, he was wrong. But I thought, I was surprised how long it took for the Eagles to put the Packers away last night.
Well, the Pack... the Packers are a second-half team, right? So they always have these crazy comebacks. Now, the Eagles went up basically 10-0, but it was all because they got a fumble on the kickoff. Their offense didn't do anything. Pretty much the entire game, they didn't do anything. Saquon was just okay. Jalen Hurts was way off from the beginning. And Jordan Love was way off from the beginning. Jordan Love's first pass, it's the worst pass I've ever seen him throw in my life. So I think you had a tale of two injured quarterbacks trying to survive. That felt more like a game of survival than a convincing win to me. Like the Eagles, if you watch that game, I don't think anyone in the NFC is scared of the Eagles right now.
I did not think they looked all that crazy impressive. Now, will they be favored in the next round against either the Rams or the Vikings, whoever comes out of this game tonight? Yeah, they will.
Yeah, because it's in the link.
But I can't imagine that team that I watched yesterday, Prof, and I'm sorry to sound like a hater on your team. I don't see how you could go to Detroit and beat the Lions. Not what I saw last night.
Oh, yeah, two rounds from now seems impossible. The next round seems very possible because you'll have either Minnesota, who's an indoor team, coming to the link, or you'll have the Rams traveling to the East Coast, where their numbers are much worse. So the Eagles have a great chance in that game. I think it's going to be a tough game. You're right, the Lions, they don't have the firepower to stay with the Lions right now. Unless Jalen Hurts was,
They do have the firepower, but they're not getting the ball to those guys.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Okay. Unless Jalen Hurts, do you think there's a scenario where we're seeing a somewhat injured, coming off a concussion, Jalen Hurts, and he has a completely different game, like think of the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs, where he was just throwing dots all over the field? That's what the Eagles are going to need. They're going to need the high-end Jalen Hurts, and you don't always get that.
It doesn't seem super likely. Do you think this was just rust because of the concussion that he hasn't played in 2 weeks?
That's where yes, he definitely was not the same quarterback. He didn't have really any deep shots to A.J. Brown. He tried one on a fake tush push. But that's really, the Eagles have two real weapons on offense. Saquon Barkley running and deep shots to A.J. Brown, either get the P.I. or the catch. There was none of that yesterday. And I don't think Hurts could do it. I don't think he was really seeing the field right. Seemed very, very kind of groggy.
Yeah, this was not a great playoff debut for him. Now, ultimately, they do get the win. But yeah, he was 13 for 21, 131 yards. But, you know, I was actually a lot more focused on the fact that Jordan Love just also just seemed really rattled. And I know his final stat in terms of yardage, 212 on 33 attempts with the three picks. You know, I thought that Jordan Love was going to be that kind of guy, Perloff, where we've seen this before with some other quarterbacks. It doesn't really matter how the regular season goes. Get that person into the playoffs and then, wow, watch him, you know?
Yeah, but he was not 100%. I really don't think he was.
It didn't even matter because he kept losing receiver after receiver.
Yeah.
And then you're asking Josh Jacobs to basically go out there and win you the game. And when the Eagles defense can sort of, I don't want to say tee off, he still had some impressive runs, but the Eagles defense wasn't fooled.
No, did you think there was a point when Josh Jacobs carried all the defenders beastquake mode into the end zone?
Yeah.
I thought that, okay, the Packers are down 16-10. They have a chance here. Then the Eagles offense woke up and Dallas Goedert stiff-armed that guy into oblivion. And that was the game. Again, the Packers, like a lot of things started going wrong toward the end of the year. Injuries. They just did not take a step from last year. You felt, we both picked them for the Super Bowl. We felt like after last year's playoffs, they were probably the better team against San Francisco. They were going to ascend. I'm not even quite sure, like, why did it not happen this year for them? I don't have an easy answer.
I mean, I don't think their receiving core is nearly as good as it needs to be. That would probably be number one.
Watson was out. Dobbs was seriously hurt yesterday.
Yep.
And then Reed, who was their only good player left, got hurt. So how do you tell? Because Watson wasn't there. How can you say that?
Well, clearly they didn't have enough depth. I don't even know if there's such thing. I don't think you can have enough depth. They just kept losing so many guys. And you lost your one dude off the offensive line, Jenkins, and it's like the whole line fell apart.
That was massive.
And that was right at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, and then you lost another guy late in the game. If they had somehow won that game, they would have really been limping into the next round. The Jenkins injury was, you cannot overstate that. You could see the immediate change in the Packers. And you said Jordan Love looked rattled. Maybe that's part of the reason why.
Okay, but here's the thing then. You know, if we're going to criticize Justin Herbert for being a highly paid quarterback who, you know, came up small, Jordan Love didn't have as bad of a game as Herbert. I think Herbert had the worst weekend probably of any person playing on wild card weekend. But, I mean, Jordan Love, that was not awesome. And I think he's going to get a pass because all of his receivers were hurt and
he
all
was
of
hurt.
That. And he was hurt.
One of the picks was like an arm punt. That one did. Yeah. The one he threw in the end zone, that didn't really matter. I think there was a pick where he didn't see Zach Bond. He just didn't see him. That happens sometimes where you're throwing like the linebacker sneaks underneath. So I'm not, again, it was a bad play, but sometimes that happens. I think he throws some beautiful passes. There's no doubt. He threw some balls intermediate, 20-yard passes where there was maybe a 4-inch window to get into it. He does throw some beautiful balls. I mean, let's face it, like the Eagles defense was dialed up throughout the whole game. They were playing really well.
If you ask me who looked like the most dominant team coming out of Wild Card Weekend, I think there's one answer and one answer only. It's the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Ravens, without a doubt, look like the best team. Now, listen, the Steelers, no showed on defense. And
I see
they kind of generally no show on offense because they're just not that talented on offense. But so maybe they ran into the right opponent who didn't really seem like they had the will to stop them. But I think it's the Ravens look the best. The Texans was the most surprising because of how suffocating their defense was. But to me, the team that looked the best was obviously Baltimore.
Yeah, but Baltimore, do they have a passing game without Zay Flowers? I mean, they're taking your 1A receiver away. I just worry a little bit because obviously the other teams are going to be able to solve that run, the RPO that they're running. There's just someone's going to hit Lamar Jackson at some point. They're going to stop running that. Like, you can't run 25 times. The Chiefs are going to have a much different setup here. So, and the Bills will too. The Bills know running quarterbacks. They have one. I think it's going to be a much different game. You're going to have to force. At some point, Lamar is going to have to throw the ball like he did in last year's AFC title game. And if Zay Flowers is a difference maker. He's finally they got Lamar Jackson, a real receiver. Is he going to play? And is he going to be effective?
I still think Bateman, likely, and Mark Andrews are competent enough to put together a pass game that you have to at least be keeping tabs on.
Oh, I don't think so. I think... Likely and Andrews are tight ends, and you really trust Bateman?
Well, I trust Flowers maybe a little bit more, but the last time we saw him in the AFC Championship game, granted he was a rookie, he was pretty disappointing. 855-212-4227. Sean's our pal in Oregon. Sean, who looked best? Who was the most impressive over Wild Card Weekend?
Well, I'm going to go with the Texans because you don't have to be very good to look good against my Steelers. That's the most disgraceful Steelers team I ever seen in my entire life. But those Texans, now that was a different story. And when you talk about looking at these games and watching the games, the best part about that game was to look at DeMeco Ryans. When you saw the look on John Harbaugh's face, and then they look over at DeMeco Ryans, and that guy was just ecstatic. And I was just loving it. What a cool moment. I'm really glad for DeMeco Ryans and that whole Texans team. I've been picking your Buffalo Bills the last couple of weeks, and I think that'd be a great American story, a great story to see the Bills finally get it done. Mm. But you best pack a lunch when you play those Texans.
We'll see if they would even get a shot. That means Houston have to pull off the upset against Kansas City. And listen, Sean, is this the Kansas City team of years past? No, it's not. It's not. But am I taking Kansas City at home?
Well, last year's Kansas City team wasn't that good either.
What's the spread on that game? I don't have it. Can we update you on a poll question at Maggie and Pearl on X? What should be the bigger priority for the Steelers, a quarterback or a head coach? 85% of you saying quarterback. It's funny. It's obvious, but I thought that the sort of, I don't know, so things wearing thin with Mike Tomlin, if that would weigh on people's minds, but I guess
yeah.
Not.
We all have a Steelers fan in our lives. You know my Steelers fan. I mean, I'll just say it's my friend Monty, who's an author. It's just like, he's like, you have to help me get Tomlin out of there. He said, start the rally on your show tomorrow. Get him out. I mean, they're just tired of being a 10-win team. They can't win the playoffs. Five straight one and duns. It feels like it's time, that doesn't mean Tomlin's not a Hall of Famer and a great coach, but Andy Reid wore out his welcome in Philadelphia, and he's arguably one of the top five coaches of all time. It happens. I mean, there's nothing, and I had no problem with Andy Reid leaving Philadelphia. I'm not one of those Eagles fans who's like, they should have kept him. Is that just, do you think that happens, Maggie, where a guy, his message just gets old and maybe it's time for a change?
Definitely. I think Phil Jackson said it. Didn't he say it? He said it was every 7 years, I thought, was what, I mean, maybe basketball season's just a little bit different and maybe you wear out a little quicker, but I think so. And listen, Mike Tomlin actually won a Super Bowl with his first team. Andy Reid did not. I think that Mike Tomlin will coach somewhere else.
You know, that sucked.
Really?
I don't know about this cycle because
feels like he's going to stay with the Steelers now. It's a little too late to get into this cycle. But yeah, it's so funny. I can't see him on another sideline. You're probably right, but it doesn't make any sense. Like Chicago? Huh?
How about this little note? Mike Tomlin's got a no trade clause. That's power. I think the only player who's got a no-trade clause is Kirk Cousins.
Is that right?
In the NFL?
I thought a lot of guys had no-trade. That's not a thing?
I don't think it's a thing.
Oh, I thought it was. Maybe it's at the NBA where it's...
Well, the NBA. And even the NBA, it's less of a thing. I think Bradley Beal's one of the only guys who actually has one anymore. I think the owners...
Well, Dak had a no-trade clause,
really,
right?
Dak did have one. I don't know if his new contract has one.
Okay, I got seven players with no-trade clause. Is it? So you're right. According to this,
who?
Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts. Hold on, slowly loading. Vamp for a second.
I see Patrick Mahomes here.
Okay, Mahomes. So we're talking about some of the most powerful quarterbacks in the league.
So only are there any non-quarterbacks, TJ? Do you see any?
No.
Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott,
Jackson,
Josh Allen.
Hurts, Mahomes, Goff, Cousins, Prescott, and Allen.
So we're talking about the highest paid players in the league, basically.
Yeah.
Most of them.
The big-time quarterbacks and Kirk Cousins.
And Mike Tomlin, apparently.
Wait, I have a question on the no-trade clause, though. Like, doesn't the coach have to agree to want to coach another team, though? Like, I feel like this is kind of weird, right?
Mm.
Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You can't trade a coach against his will.
Yeah, you can't be like, sorry, man, like, you got to coach the Raiders now.
He's like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Too bad. Them's the rules.
Right.
Well, I mean, players don't get, they have to go wherever they're traded.
I guess, but I thought I don't know. I think there's a CBA, though, right, between the players and the... in the league? Like, I think it's different with the coaches.
Yeah, the wording on the no trade clause was kind of funny in the story. It said, like, they say allegedly has a no trade clause. Like, no one's seen, you can't see coaches' contracts. They're not public, like the players' contracts, right?
Yeah,
is that the
never,
famous Belichick? Right. We never knew what he was getting paid.
We just heard rumors it was like $20 million a year or something.
Huh. That is funny. Maybe there is like sort of a quasi no trade contract. Tomlin's one of the few coaches who probably could have merited a draft pick through the years. Most coaches, like, what's a, you know, you're not trading a pick to hire most of these guys, right?
Matt Eberflus?
Yeah.
What will you give me for Eberflus? Like,
I don't understand. Who would trade a high pick for Mike Tomlin now coming off a disappointing playoff game?
Well, I mean, Sean Payton was coming off a disappointing end of the run in New Orleans, and the Denver Broncos still traded two picks for him.
But what's the difference?
That was a ownership group that was really desperate?
Payton's an offensive guy that's way more valuable in this league. I mean, wait till... That's why it's so mystifying to see all these defensive guys getting head coaches when pretty much wait till the Final Four, it's going to be all offensive coaches.
Let's go to Ramon as our pal in Indy. Ramon.
Hello, and happy Monday to everybody. And boy, you guys, stay on the Razor's Edge. Perloff, have a little confidence in the Eagles, man. You just determined. You just want to win and go on. That's what you do. Sometimes you win ugly. You know, it happens. Kobe didn't do anything that last game. It was our test in Gasol that won, but yet Kobe got the glory. So
Ramon,
that's all we
it's
want
Super
to do,
Bowl
win
or bust this year for the Eagles. There's no, like, let's win a playoff game. We have to win the Super Bowl. Otherwise, it's a failure.
Ramon, do you know that Perloff wanted Jalen Hurts benched during this game?
No, I can't understand that. In Baltimore, they can win two ways, Perloff. They can run, no, or they can pass. Lamar, remember, he got 4,000 yards. He got 41 touchdowns and four picks. They can win both ways. Let's stop putting them down like they can't pass. They both ways.
Ramon, aren't you worried about them without Zay Flowers? Isn't that a big deal?
I'm not worried about them all. You know why? Because the will. They have a will now that I didn't see in them the last few years. They have that will. Kansas City has that will. You know, Houston had that will. I'm glad you guys got on Herbert. You know how I feel about Herbert. And yes, Jordan Love only going to get a pass, Maggie, because he won a playoff game in his career last year over Dallas in Dallas. So that's why he'll get a little pass. I didn't like it yesterday either, but that's the only reason why he has won a playoff game in Dallas. But I'm glad you guys blasted Herbert out there. Them four picks were horrible. But Baltimore, Buffalo, make no mistakes, that's going to be a war. That's a war. I can't wait. Thanks for taking my call.
Ramon, thanks. I can wait. I was wondering, can I get on the treadmill now? Can I do, like, preemptive treadmilling?
Oh, gosh.
Well, so much anxiety before this game, because last time these two team plays, Derrick Henry ran for 200 yards.
Try to think about, like, just thumbnail, what's the Bills' strategy for this game? It's got to be just try to control the game offensively and do not let Derrick Henry and Lamar touch the ball. Isn't that the only prayer you have here?
Yeah, that. And you just got... You have to sell out to stop the run. And if Lamar beats you with the pass game, then they beat you with the pass game. But all those draft picks and signing Von Miller and all the stuff that the Bills have done to try to shore up the defensive line, everyone has to play their best game. Their best game. And that's it.
Well, I noticed something in the Steelers-Ravens game. When someone actually pushed Arthur Smith to the side and started calling pass plays, like that Ravens secondary, not great. Like they if they had done that all game, they could have... I mean, they started really moving the ball very, very well in the second half because, I mean, every one-on-one battle, the DBs lost.
I know, but they had a 3-score lead. I think, I don't know what the Ravens' plan was at that point. But
that's the story of the Ravens. The Ravens' back seven is not terrifying to anybody. I think you could pass on them, but the Bills don't have any receivers.
I think it's funny that somehow you think, somebody like unhooked Arthur Smith's like headset?
Well, I mean, you saw the first half. I mean, it's first and 10. 1 yard run. It's second and 9. 1 yard run. I mean, and then they finally got behind and started slinging the ball. And obviously it worked because the Ravens don't have a great pass defense. I think you could really do some things, but I don't know who the Bills' targets are. Like, I don't know if, like, Josh Allen gets in a shootout. Who's he throwing to, Mac?
Well, that's what they say, that everyone eats. So it's going to be a little bit of Khalil Shakir.
Winning.
It's going to be a little bit of Amari Cooper, I guess, a little Mac Hollins, a little Curtis Samuel. It's going to be a little Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. It's everybody.
Can that work when you're trailing?
Not so far this year because they got blown out by the Ravens 35-10. Adrian's in Maryland. Adrian, who is the most impressive team that you saw this weekend?
Hey, Meg, I got to give you your flowers, man. I'm telling you, Denver went up 7-0 and Buffalo ran off 31 straight. That's like a basketball game where you run off, you know, 20, 30 straight on a team. Probably even worse. So I'm going to give the Buffalo Bills the flowers there. And watch out for the Rams tonight. If the Rams win, I'm sorry, Perloff. I think they can beat your Eagles. I know the Eagles beat them pretty bad in L.A., but on a grass surface, I don't think Saquon is the same person as being on turf or anything. Also, that game with the Chargers. What's up with Jim Harbaugh? It's 10-6, and he doesn't take a field goal. They were in that game, and you can't blame it all on Harbaugh. I mean, Justin, he threw that pick, but also the second pick is tight end. Come on, you got to catch that. That's just a bad drop and pick six that turned into, you know, a game breaking back of the game.
But Adrian, by the way, the Eagles are at home in the next round. What was your concern about Saquon?
About going to Detroit.
Oh, you're talking about two rounds from now. But he was saying Rams are dangerous.
I'm talking next round. So,
yeah, but the game's in Philly, so Saquon should be fine.
It's in Philly, but I think the Rams can play. They played in L.A., and I just think he's quicker. Obviously, everybody's quicker on turf or on the synthetic grass, but I think the Rams will be in that game, and that was a slow start yesterday. So they're actually making Jalen Hurts run the ball.
Adrian, great points all around.
The Rams are. I think the Rams has not really laid out great, but since Puka Nacua came back, they've been one of the best teams in the league. There's no doubt. They started out 1-4, and they lost their last game to the Seattle with backups. Like, they're a really good team. They have a really good run game. Kyren Williams is outstanding, and they have an awesome receiving tandem, and they have Matthew Stafford. I think they're actually. They might not beat Minnesota. There's a great chance they don't win this game. I think they're maybe the most dangerous team to Detroit. Like, they have the formula for Detroit. I'm not sure the Eagles do, because the Rams can run and pass. The Eagles right now can't pass.
855-212-4227, reacting to everything that happened over the wild card weekend. We still have some college football playoff stuff to clean up. Ohio State and Texas. We have not been on the air since that debacle for Texas and that win for Ohio State. So we've got a lot to unpack. The M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down? Comes your way next.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. Every week we do the M&P 500. Stock up, stock down. All right, Maggie, why don't you get us started? Stock up.
There is no person whose stock is up more than a man by the name of Jim Murphy. I'd never heard of him until yesterday, but he is the author of a book called Inner Excellence, which is a book that A.J. Brown was reading during the Eagles-Packers game yesterday. I still don't know if this was a bit or if he was serious or why he was reading in the middle of a game. Was this supposed to be a joke? I have no idea, but Jim Murphy, I tried to log on to the website. At first, his book, it crashed, but the website looks like it's back up. It's the manual filled with tools and techniques to train your heart and mind. So, stock up, Jim Murphy. I'm sure the book sales are soaring this morning.
Yeah, it was a joke by A.J. Brown, because he obviously was only targeted a couple times. How many times was he targeted? Three times? Four times? I think he's secretly fuming about how the game went down, and he's trying to do this thing to say, oh, no. I'm just sort of making light of the fact that I wasn't used in this game. But I know A.J. Brown, and his happiness is directly tied to his number of targets. Like, that guy can't stand when he doesn't get the ball. So I think he was trying to be, like, sort of make a point, but not make a point. Does that make sense? I think he was, like, afterwards you saw him, the cut to, he was laughing with the one of the team employees. They were joking about it, and he threw the book down. Like, you think he was being serious, like, to make a point? I'm bored.
I have no idea. Here's A.J. Brown trying to explain the book.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it a recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. But that's not the first game. You know, it got a lot of points in there. It's a lot of mental game, a lot of mental.
parts about it. And, you know, because for me, you know, this game is mental. You know, I physically believe I can do anything and everything, but, you know, I got to make sure my mental goes. So it's something like how I refresh every drive.
Okay, here's the part about this that I'm calling BS on. He brings this book to every game, and we haven't seen it yet. There are no fewer than 50 cameras during every NFL game. One of them's on A.J. Brown at all times. It's the Philadelphia market, which has a press corps 25 deep. And this is the first we've heard of Inner Excellence by Jim Murphy. No. I don't know. I don't know what this is. But stock up for Jim Murphy. Congrats to you on the book.
All right. I'm also going to go to a work of fiction. I guess my stock up here is not the way that Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry played, but the way that Lamar Jackson described his teammate Derrick Henry was thoroughly amusing to me.
It looked like a movie clip. Like, you know, when, like, I'm gonna give Cars. You watch the movie Cars? You're a little bit too old to watch Cars, but anyway, for kids, I was a kid when I watched Cars, that's all I'm saying. But you know when Lightning McQueen just flashing past, and then it's like, that's how Derek looked when he was running past, and all those guys just—it looked like a movie, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you, but I'd rather be watching it than being on the opposite side of the ball. I know that.
So, I went against my better instincts and watched AFC North Hard Knocks. There's no more positive human being on this planet Earth than Lamar Jackson. He is 90% cheerleader, 10% football player. The way he lifts his teammates and talks about them is so entertaining. He is just such a ray of sunshine. I just love watching him do interviews because it's like he just doesn't seem to feel any negative thoughts enter his mind ever. He loves Derrick Henry. He doesn't care if he takes all the carries. Like, he's just like, you saw it on the sideline. He's just so happy when his guys do something. And obviously he's miserable in a loss, but dude, that guy, I want him to be my teammate.
It's funny when he said to the person in the front row, well, you're too old for this.
And then it's like,
but then he had to clarify. He's like, I'm not watching Cars now as a 27-year-old man. He had to actually add that line. He's like, no, I watched it when I was a kid. So he's not like, I'm like going home and watching Cars. But everybody knows Cars. If you have kids, you watch, you know, Cars too. Like, I know Cars really well, and I'm old. So it's like not that big a deal.
My stock down.
You're a little bit too old to watch Cars, but anyway.
If the stock's going to go up, stock's going to go down. This is part of the M&P 500. Stock down, Sark's play calling at the end of the Texas-Ohio State game. You set up first and goal after back-to-back penalties. You get a Jarrett Gibson run for no gain. Quintrevion Wisner, loss of 7 yards. So now you're third and goal at the 8. That's when you get an incomplete pass to Ryan Wingo. And then fourth and goal, gotta have it. You're down by a score. Ewers on the sweep toss ends up being sack fumble. Jack Sawyer the other way. Just brutal. And what makes it worse and why Sark has to wear this is because everyone on the Ohio State defense said this was on tape. This was on tape. We knew they were going to do this. We had sniffed this out. It was not creative. And it was just a brutal ending for Texas. So, stock down, Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, we argued about this last night. I mean, honestly, I think Texas outcoached Ohio State because they should have gotten killed by Ohio State. I thought, my stock down is Chip Kelly. Like, bro, what are you doing here? Like, you have Jeremiah Smith. He might be the first number one pick receiver in a long time. I mean, I don't know how many there are. He's the best player in the entire sport. And he has one catch for 3 yards. I don't care how much bracket coverage there is. The Ohio State messed with fire in that game. They should have blown them out. And they really, you're right. There were mistakes by Sark there at the end. But there's 65 plays in a game. I think you're picking out one bad run call.
Game.
Yeah, but it's one call. Like, overall, I think
they should have scored when you're first and goal from the one.
Yes, but you should score more than 21 offensive points when you have Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Ogbuka, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, Carnell Tate, Curtis Innes, G. Scott. Like, you scored 21 points, and one of it was a purely lucky play at the end of the half with that Travion Henderson touchdown. Like, I think the Texas was lucky to hang in there. I think Sark was actually had his team. Like, they were playing for Sark. I don't know if Ohio State is playing for Ryan Day. I just don't see that. How did this game get close? I don't understand. I watched the game. Like, what on earth happened? Like, how was Texas in this game?
855-212-4227 if you have a stock up or stock down from the weekend. One more quick stock up. It's totally away from football. The Sacramento Kings have won 7 games in a row. We're on in Northern California. We're on in Kings country and Blazers country too in Oregon. But I know we have a lot of Kings fans in the audience. Just want to acknowledge under Doug Christie, they've won 7 games in a row. And it's not just all schedule wins. There's been playoff teams in that streak as well. There you go.
Yeah, nothing like a Kings stock up will take the air out of a room.
Yeah, I love that one.
Shout attention out, must Doug Christie.
Attention must be paid. Doug Christie in his ultra fidelity. That was always the thing about Doug Christie, right, when he was playing.
I saw some pictures from the early 2000s that were quite disturbing. I cannot unsee them now.
What, with his wife sitting in the front row?
No. Oh. No, there was some chains and some collars. There was a photo shoot. I was like, why am I seeing this now? My parents correctly hid this from me when I was 9 years old, and they were losing to the Lakers in the conference finals.
I'm going to have to do my own research on that one. Bogish has headlines for us on this very extremely busy Monday. Again, you're welcome to weigh in with your stock up, stock down at 855-212-4227.
And the headline in Philly is that Jalen Hurts played and finished yesterday's game after missing the Eagles' last 2 with a concussion. We did not get the full Hurts effect, though. 2 passing touchdowns, but just 13 completions, 131 yards. The offense settling for 3 short field goals.
Ultimately, you just kind of want to impose your will and style of play. You know, not think, we know we're capable of doing a number of different things, but we just have to find our rhythm and go out there, ultimately execute.
The Eagles did win, though, 22-10 over the Packers, who were sloppy and beat up. Jordan Love picked off 3 times. There were 8 penalties. Romeo Doubs on a long injury report with his 2nd concussion of the season. Not how Matt LaFleur wanted to end their campaign.
I hurt for our guys because, like I said, there's a lot of energy and work that goes into this thing, and it should hurt because there is so much time and effort that goes into it. But hopefully we can use this as fuel to have a great offseason and come back next year ready to rock.
The Eagles wait on tonight's Rams-Vikings winner. Their divisional game will be Sunday afternoon. The Bills will host the Ravens Sunday night after thumping the Broncos yesterday afternoon. 31-7, Denver scoreless for the final 57.5 minutes. Josh Allen, 2 touchdown passes, giving him 23 postseason TDs. Good for the solo lead now in franchise history. The only drama yesterday came at night in Tampa. The Bucs and Commanders took turns leading, then were tied with 4:41 left. Washington did not give the ball back. Zane Gonzalez doinking in a 37-yard field goal for a 23-20 win, the franchise's first playoff W since 06. Dan Quinn, though, would have preferred a cleaner make from his kicker.
I felt like I was in a Bounty commercial, you know, where the cup spills. And it hit. And as it went through, I kind of just paused and probably skipped a beat.
The Commanders now prep for Saturday night in Detroit.
I think he deserved that.
It wasn't bad.
A courtesy laugh is not terrible there.
The Chiefs and Texans play the first game this coming Saturday. With his season over, Chargers pass rusher Khalil Mack said yesterday he's not sure he will play again. The Patriots and Mike Vrabel officially reuniting. The former player will discuss becoming the team's new head coach at noon Eastern today. And Texas running back Jaden Blue, left tackle Kelvin Banks declaring for the draft. Now we've got some Sixers things to discuss. First, their game with the Magic.
Banchero to the elbow. Jumper is up. Cash. That's money. He said, I got you. This is what I do. P5 puts the Magic up 3. It's 102-99. 29 seconds to go.
Magic radio feeling good.
Is that Gus Johnson?
I don't know who that is. Paolo Banchero scoring 7 points in the final 92 seconds for a 104-99 win over the visiting Sixers. And then we have the team no longer building a $1.3 billion downtown arena. Instead, they've agreed to stay in their current neighborhood. But I don't think, Pearl, we know any of the details of that yet.
Yeah, I was telling Maggie, Howard Eskin, who recently got fired in ignominy, what's that word?
Ignominy.
Is it? I can I never know. Say that word.
Me neither.
You're not roping me into this.
He fired for WIP.
How about infamy?
Odyssey Station. And then I think he broke this story. Still has sources. Long time Philadelphia reporter. I got to double check that. That's a huge mistake. I understand that there were the logistics of the downtown stadium were terrible. There's no way you could drive in or park or anything like that. But downtown stadiums are so cool. I don't care. I would totally want to see it. Like
the man who's railed against congestion pricing since the moment it got announced was like, let's put more things in the middle of the city.
Well, no, I mean, if it's not, it's totally congestion pricing in New York now, like everything's going to leave Manhattan. Like Manhattan's going to become totally irrelevant. Keep Philly, like downtown Philly revitalized. If they put a stadium there, you could have just a massive overall effect. I think kind of like the Barclays did in Brooklyn. Like I think downtown stadiums build so much business around them. I think it's always good.
But today you're behind it. The first time you can't drive to a Sixers game, you're going to hate it.
Well, I'm not going to go to it. I'm not going to. If I can't drive, I'm not going. But
so you're never going to a Sixers game again.
I live in New York. I don't like.
I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah, I'll take this. I would actually consider. Well, I'll Uber in. Can you Uber in?
Probably. Well, it doesn't matter now.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
Don't you guys think the way Philadelphia is designed, there's four teams on the outside of the city. Like, don't you guys want inner city teams? Isn't that a much more fun?
I just love the effect that someone's like driving their car right now in Tucson, Arizona. It's like, let me think about how Philly is laid out.
Well, Phoenix is quite controversial.
No,
right in the
a
middle
downtown arena.
No. That's why I said if you're any town, like, don't you want your teams downtown? I think that's like a universal thing.
I just want my team in the city. Like the fact I'm a Jets fan that has to go to New Jersey, in theory, I've never gone.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, like to me, I don't know if it mattered that the Jets were outside of like Manhattan or if they were in Queens. I think it wouldn't matter to me.
But the Philly stadiums are really in the city. Like that's not really the city.
No, it's in like I know the area fairly well. It's kind of like
a area. I think like I love Camden.
It's like the 49ers. They built this beautiful stadium. We were there for the Super Bowl all those years ago, but it's 45. It's Santa Clara.
Yeah. See, I don't like that. That would bother me.
Right. Like they should be where the baseball stadium is in San Francisco. That's a beautiful, amazing thing. I don't like it. I don't like these sort of outside the cities.
I don't know. As a New Yorker, you know, you have Yankee Stadium at one place. You have Citi Field that's so far away. You have Madison Square Garden that's far away. I don't know. There's something that's convenient, I figure, as a New Yorker, of having it. Having your ballpark, your football stadium, your basketball arena, hockey arena, all in the same area.
No, huge mistake. And you have huge mistake not put the Jets on the west side.
And you have the bar over there in between all of that as well. Xfinity.
Chicky and Pete's. Oh, Xfinity.
Yeah.
But you didn't want the Jets stadium? I wanted it
badly.
Oh, yeah. My God.
You can thank for that.
I know. The guy who owns my basketball team.
New York politics, but
Timothy.
There's a good poll question. Do you want your stadium in the middle of the city or outside of the city?
I think it depends on the city, right? Because like when I went to San Diego, when I went to a Padres game,
it's
like
amazing.
That works.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Maybe there's not as much people, not as much car traffic or whatever.
Where does it not work, EJ? Show me one city where it doesn't work.
I guess that's true. Yeah. I mean, I can't think of one. I feel like Barclays has worked, even if nobody cares.
Oh, it's amazing.
Indianapolis is great, too.
Great. Minnesota, amazing.
What I don't know, though, is about the logistics of getting in places. Like, Coors Field is also, like, in Denver, but I don't know what it's like to get to Coors Field, like, as a fan. That I don't know about. Like, we know that the MetLife Stadium is awful. Like, we don't go there because it's so bad to get in and out. I don't know if any city downtown arenas or ballparks are like that, too.
I mean, crypto.com arenas worked, but downtown L.A. is weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird, like, it's in, quote-unquote, downtown L.A., but it's, like, almost,
it's been
like,
built up a lot.
It's almost, like, an outskirts of downtown L.A., though. It's, like, literally at the southern part, I would say.
Well, I mean, the Warriors moved into downtown San Francisco. I haven't been to that. It looks super cool.
That's an interesting question. I'll put a poll up.
I mean, one thing is, like, I mean, the formula is just leave Oakland. That seems to be the thing that ever. I mean, Vegas is right. No, I'm just saying, like, it's, I think downtown arena is the way you go. I mean, this is a big L for the Sixers. Like, they're going to be kind of boring.
What else is new?
Yeah. Star player literally said he was bored. Paul George said that.
Yeah, they're they're borderline relevant. Like, and I don't mean that. Like, they're just never going to, like, the Eagles just dominate the city so much, and nobody's ever really going to care about the Sixers.
It's been good.
Can I give you another trivia question? This one about the Washington Commanders, who won their first playoff game since 2006. Do you remember?
The Commanders.
Who was the quarterback of that playoff team?
What year, 2006?
Well, it was the 2005 season, but the playoff game happened in 2006.
Who was their quarterback?
Who was their quarterback? Saturday, January 14th, 2006.
It feels like the middle of the Patrick Ramsey
era. I think I know the wrong answer. Like the guy who also went to the playoffs in that era but didn't win. But the answer is not Jason Campbell, right?
It is not.
Yeah, because he went to the playoffs, I think, but lost. There's a guy before him. No
idea.
We'll
take a quick break. I'll tell you, no Googling, everybody. Who was the quarterback the last time the Commanders, when they were not the Commanders then, won a playoff game?
All right, that's the number one team in the country who has to move to downtown. If the Commanders stay in the suburbs, they should sell the team. That's my only take on that one.
212-4227. Don't move. Okay, gave you a whole commercial break to think about it. Trivia question. Who was the quarterback of the Washington Commanders the last time they won a playoff game, which was January of 2006? Who was the quarterback?
So is it like a veteran journeyman?
Sure. Well, you guys think about that. I'm going to go with Dom to Dom in Washington, D.C. I have a feeling Dom may know the answer here. Good morning, Dom.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for letting me on the show and all that good stuff. I kind of got thrown a wrench with this because I just heard it because I was doing other things. May it by chance have been Brad Johnson?
It's not Brad Johnson, but you're in the right neighborhood. But what did you want to say about this year's version of the Commanders?
Oh, man, I have so much. I just wanted to start with I'm trying to have you guys, because this is like my third time calling in, try to have you remember who I am. I'm Dominic from Washington. I'm the guy.
Yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah, I'm the guy that said that the Bengals wouldn't make the playoffs and that I didn't think Joe Burrow would ever win a Super Bowl. I'm that guy. You know, okay. I had a little battle with Perloff. But I'm actually just calling for Perloff, not you, Maggie, because you've been kind of down the middle with. But Perloff has just been totally wrong with a lot of his picks, and I'm just calling to pick with him. I also, during that conversation, I said Jaden Daniels would be rookie of the year and that Washington would make the playoffs, and, you know, Perloff kind of laughed it off. And I really think, you know, that Perloff's disdain for the Redskins, well, for Washington, I'm sorry, maybe he might be a little salty because we beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think he also knows that we have the best quarterback in the division. Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, and whoever the Giants get, we got the best quarterback in the division. And he gave us no chance against the Bucks, and he said because Jaden Daniels is a rookie and only a couple rookies, you know, the same thing that everybody say, a couple rookies have won on the road in the playoffs and all this stuff. So I'm here to tell you, You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink.
Dom, I think you've made your points, man.
See with their own eyes what's going on. I'm sorry, that's on you. But I think we have a great chance down in Detroit. We will use the same formula that we use against Tampa Bay. Keep the ball.
Yep.
Time of possession. Tough, you know, I mean, just enough defense, and we always have enough of Jaden Daniels. So I really love what's going on. I just called to mess with Perloff a little bit.
I love it. Give Perloff a little dose of his own medicine. Thank you, Dom. You did not think the Commanders were going to beat the Bucks, Pearl. Although you have been very high on Jaden Daniels, so I'll give you that.
October 13th, 2023. Andrew Perloff tweets, I don't know what the rest of the nation is seeing. Jaden Daniels is clearly the number two quarterback in the country. Nobody had any idea at that point that he was going to be the number two pick, except for this genius. And obviously, Jaden Daniels was going to win Rookie of the Year. I call that. And so, but Dom's 100% right. Of course I'm salty. I hate that Washington franchise. I hate Joe Gibbs. I hate the Hogs. I hate everything about the Washington franchise. He actually used the word you're not supposed to say for the Washington franchise, but I hated that team more than I've ever hated anyone except the Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, he's absolutely right. Is this Eagles bias? 100%.
Well,
that
is Jaden Daniels
package in these shorts right here.
Is Jaden Daniels the best quarterback in the division?
Oh, heck yeah.
He is, isn't he?
But what does that mean? Who cares? Well, I don't know. Do you get a healthy Dak next year? Maybe that's close. I mean, Jalen Hurts, and but it doesn't. That Jalen Hurts can beat anybody on a given Sunday. Like, he can outplay any quarterback in the league. He's just sort of up and down. Jaden Daniels, yeah. I mean, honestly, if Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts were playing, I would give the Eagles would be a touchdown favorite. Like, Hurts with this team is very good. So I don't even know if that makes a difference.
One thing that may happen, Cliff Kingsbury is supposedly interviewing everywhere today. So if you lose your offensive coordinator, then you lose your continuity. And then does, you know, that happen to Jaden Daniels? Makes it a little harder. All right, enough filibustering. Everyone got a guess? Who was the quarterback the last time the Washington football team won a playoff game in January of 2006?
Can I ask another question? Was he a lefty?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Gus
Yes,
Frerotte.
He was a lefty.
Now I'm wrong.
Oh, is it Mark Brunell or Washington
It
Commander?
Was Mark Brunell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how about this? He went 7 for 15 for 41 yards.
I had this weird image. I was going to say Mark Brunell, but I'm like, Mark Brunell ever played in Washington? But he did,
he
didn't
did. He did. They beat the Tampa Bay Bucks. Bonus points if you can tell me who was the quarterback for the Bucks in that game, that loss.
Jeff Garcia? No, too early, right?
What year?
2006.
Brad Johnson was long gone at that point, right?
The answer is Chris Sims.
Wow.
This is a Joe Gibbs versus John Gruden special.
So not Joe Theismann.
Washington won 17-10 off a stellar day from Mark Brunell. Coming up, who had the worst weekend?